Let's see, today is November 14th, 1987, and I'm talking to John Davis.
John H. Davis.
John H. Davis.
Now, the reason I want that John H. in there is because you got another John Davis that lives over on Keener's Ridge, and he courts and screws everything there is in the country. And he came in here, and I was the only John Davis around here. And he gave me a bad name, I'm telling you. He even got in the church, you know. People's giving me the cold shoulder, and I didn't know what it was all about. And so I always put put the H in there. He don't have no middle initial, he said. Yeah, I know him, and I used to get his mail, see. They'd bring his mail down here to me. He stayed over there at the hotel in Gassaway for a long time, and he worked at the mechanic trade. People call want to know if I was John Davis, and I'd say, yeah. I used a mechanic, and of course I worked in the mechanic trade too. My career was, I was raised on a farm. There was 10 of us kids, 7 boys and 3 girls. And we raised what we eat what we raised. My dad had a blacksmith shop. And he got his cash money from working in the blacksmith shop for the with surrounding neighbors. And I learned the blacksmith trade. Then I worked after I got married, I worked at them farm laborers about all I could get. Back during the 30s, you know, there wasn't no public jobs. Mm-hmm. Everything was shut down. I worked farm work and worked a while for the Board of Education as a carpenter, work building some schoolhouses. That's when this sales tax started out, you know, and they had money to throw away. And I worked at whatever I could get to work, and WPA come along, and I got in debt $15 and didn't have any way to pay it. I got to work on the WPA 6 weeks. The first check I got, I went and paid that $15 debt. That's how I got out of debt. That was a big debt then. So, and I went over here to Middle Run, and a fella gave me free rent and all that. This man, Bear Johnson. You've heard of Bear Johnson. Fine man. I worked for him on the farm. Then World War II started in December the 7th, 1941, wasn't it? Uh-huh. So my wife's sister lived in a high, and she got sick. Nobody up there to take care of her. So they lived in Alliance, a high. So the wife, she wanted to go up there and take care of her.
He might need me to move his car. My car. Oh no, I thought he needed me.
No. Okay. So he went up there, and I got a job up there. And I stayed up there 5 years, and I started in as a maintenance man. That was repairing machinery and all that stuff. You know, I'd had quite a bit of experience at that kind of work. And, and then I went to welding school and learned to be an electric welder. So I made welding as my career. And I worked at the welding trade from that time on until I retired. And when I retired, I set me up a clock shop and repaired the old clocks. Uh-huh. Take them old clocks like that one there, patented in 1882. Mm-hmm. That's a collector's item. Those two alarm clocks there, one of them's patented in 1910, a year older than I am. And this one over here in 1925 and one 1927. You never seen one like it.
I've seen a couple.
Yeah.
They're old timers,
though. How old are you?
I'm 41.
41. That's a long way from 76.
Yeah. So you fix clocks?
Yeah, I took that up as a... I even got a clock lady, see. And uh-huh. Tools. I got tools of all kinds. I even modified tools and made tools. I needed a certain tool to work on clocks. I worked at some at the machinist trade and blacksmith, and I knew how to make that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I made hammers and took plars and modified them and put them into something else and made my punches, chisels, and reamers and all that stuff, see? Clock.
So in other words, I could bring a clock over here and you might could fix it for me.
Huh?
I say, in other words, I could bring a clock over here and you might could fix
not
it.
Not now. I quit.
Did you?
I had a heart attack a couple of years ago.
Oh, my.
And I turned it all over to Carl. Take it to Carl.
Yeah.
And what do you want to know about the dulcimer, was it?
Yeah, I'd like to know about that. You say that dulcimer's been in your family quite a while?
I don't know the year. You can figure it back. I'm 76 years old, and I was 10 years old when my dad brought it home. He went into Sutton, you know, rode horseback and went in there. There's no man over on Big Buffalo, Worthy Frame. He was a granddaddy of a lot of them frames. And he played some music. The frames, you know, there's Ted and Wes and John and all them boys played music. I've played with them myself. And my dad had traded or bought a mandolin. He couldn't play it. And he come back and he always stopped at Worthy's store, you know, and get some candy or peanuts or something. And he liked to visit with his neighbors, you know. We just lived right over the hill from him. And he traded for the dulcimer. He brought it home and he said, the first one learns to play that can have it when I'm done with it. Well, I got me a piece of cow's horn for a pick and a matchstick or a pencil or whatever it was. And so I learned to play it, the first one. Well, my mother remembered that and all the kids remembered. So after he passed away and she passed away, they said, that's your dulcimer. Dad gave you that when you was 10 years old. So I've had it ever since, and people say, why don't you refinish that and make it look nice and everything? I said, no. That's the way it looked when I first seen it and learned to play on it. And I want to keep it that way. Now, it's got to be looking, but it's a good one. I mean, yeah, it's been played on, I'll tell you that.
Now, John, did you ever hear anybody else play dulcimer?
Anybody else?
Yeah.
Nobody but Carl.
Carl plays.
Yeah, he made one.
Yeah.
I made one.
Did you?
Yeah, I made one off of the pattern of that one.
Huh.
My sister that lived down in South Charleston, I let my other oldest sister have the dulcimer, the one I made. And then my other sister, she wanted it. Well, she kept it, the older sister kept it. She died. My brother Carl, he went down and got it out of the old house. She still lived in the old home place, you know. He got it, and I said, Dolly, my sister always wanted that dulcimer. And I said, you keep that and give it to her. I don't care what the rest of them says. All the kids are still living at that time. So, I don't know whether all of them was or not. I lose track of time, you know. And so she got the dulcimer, and one of her kids has got it. And Carl's got one he made himself. He made a stand for it. He went down to Charleston that annual together, you know what I'm talking about, and played the dulcimer down there and got his picture in the book and all that. And That's just about the shortest history I can give you.
Uh-huh. That's pretty good. Now, where was it that you all were raised?
You know where the Appalachian Highway or the New 19 ends up there?
Yeah, I know where Carl lives.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Right, Carl lives on the old home place.
I see.
He built a house there. Uh-huh. You can look down there and see it from off of that bridge there.
Is the old house still down there too?
Yeah. His, one of his daughters lives in there. Uh-huh. He goes out here with Cy McLean's wife and Sarah Singleton.
Yeah.
They play for these school dancers and so on. Mm-hmm. I used to play for square dancers with them.
You did?
They had a fellow by the name of, I think of his name directly, Bud Ockletree. He played the violin. Mm-hmm. And Ref Frame, he was good on the guitar, and I played the banjo. Mm-hmm. Played the backup on the rhythm. Of course, I could play some of the notes.
You played the banjo, you say?
Yeah, five string.
You still have one?
No.
What style? Did you knock it or did you pick it? Or?
They call it claw harmony.
Yeah?
I had a style of my own. I learned it by myself.
Yeah?
All the music I know, I learned it by myself.
Yeah.
I still got an old violin in there and got two violins.
Yeah.
And a guitar. I've got a real guitar, a real old one. It's a Sears Roebuck, silver tone.
Uh-huh.
You play the guitar?
Yeah.
You want to look at it and play on it?
Well, sure, in a little bit. Let me talk a little bit more and then
we'll you might want to record a little bit of our music.
Yeah, I'd like to do that. I'd like to tune that Dulcimer up if you would and try one on.
Well, we can tune them together there just in a minute. You're good. I can't hear good anymore. See, I wear a hearing aid.
Uh-huh.
And since I had that heart attack, my reflexes have slowed down.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't even get the chords on the guitar when I got out of the hospital. Mm-hmm. So I used to do pretty good on that stuff. But
Did anybody else in your family play the dulcimer?
Well, my sister, she's the youngest sister, she played it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the one that got the one I built, she could play some.
Mm-hmm.
And the other boys, it wasn't one of them learned to play it. Mm-hmm. They didn't like it, I don't think, only Carl.
Did your parents play any music?
My dad, he played the dulcimer, and he could play an old juice harp.
Oh,
my mother, she couldn't play nothing but a washboard.
Uh-huh. Did your dad play the dulcimer before he brought that one home?
He could play it when he brought it home.
So he had played one?
Evidently, sometime or another, when he was a boy, he'd had experience with one.
Yeah. Did you ever hear it called anything other than a dulcimer?
No. Yeah, I have. They called it the hog harp, some people did.
Hog harp.
They didn't know what the name of it was.
Uh-huh.
They call it the hog harp.
I've heard it called a hog fiddle, too.
A what?
I've heard it called a hog fiddle.
Yeah. When I was a boy, before I was married, if you're a musician, you could play any kind of music, you always life of the party. We go out there and play music, and they'd play go on the mill and all them old-time games, you know, boys and girls, and post office and what had you.
Going to the mill? What was that one?
Going to the mill, he'd take a boy and a girl team up, you know, and go around and around, and had one they had called dropping the handkerchief and all that stuff. And
can you
old-time games.
Can you remember how any of them little rhymes went?
Huh?
Do you remember how any of those little rhymes went to those games?
Oh, I don't remember too much about it now. Anyway, if you could play music, it's really the life of the party.
Yeah.
Now, I had two first cousins, Lanny Davis and Ivan Davis. They lived up on the mountain there at the end of that Appalachian Highway.
Uh-huh.
And they was good singers, and I sung. And we could all read music, and we sung a lot of those old cowboy songs and love songs,
uh-huh.
And we'd go in for that.
Uh-huh.
Well, back there during the Depression, they'd point fellas to have a man over there in that country that he lived at Little Birch, fellow by the name of John Smith. And they had a music contest over there, what they called the Harmony Schoolhouse. They gathered all of their country music players, musicians in. And we played for entertainment, you know, groups or by yourself or however it was. And then they had the contest. And my cousin, Ivan Davis, he and I, we went together. We didn't go to play. We didn't consider ourselves a good musician. And we didn't figure we had a chance. Amongst we know they had good musicians that would be there, see, better than we thought was better than we was. Well, went over there, and each one of these boys, they had a sister. And these girls was raised there in Sutton, and they was town girls, and they knew their way around. Of course, me and my cousin, we were just old country boys, you know, bashful, and didn't have much nerve, and they got at us to play. Boy, we argued with them and kept them. We didn't want to play. And I said, we never brought no instruments. And this one girl said, my brother's got a good guitar. He'll let you have his. And the other one said, yeah, my brother will let you have his guitar. They kept on the directly. They said, you ain't got the nerve to play. And I said, no, lady. I said, we've got more nerve than we got sense. And I said, but I know enough to not go in them against good musicians. And we want to listen. We want to enjoy the show. And when she said, you ain't got the nerve to play, I said, no, you're wrong. I've got more nerve than I got sense. So we went and played in the entertainment, the two of us. Both of us played guitars. And I led and he sung tenor. And evidently it must have sounded awful good. I don't know, because we played in the entertainment. I think it was two pieces. Then they announced that, now each group, pick out whatever song you want to play in the contest. We're going to have the contest. So my cousin and I, we had one that we could really get on now. And so we announced what we was going to play in the contest. And the others had their song picked out they was going to play. You know, we won first prize in that contest. The little girls come back, you know, congratulated us and everything. And I said to this girl, she kind of picked me off, and the other one, my cousin, you know. And at that time, you know, it was pretty handsome boys, you know, young. And had a good humor about us. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. I said, I had the nerve to play in the contest. And back there, whenever you wanted to get acquainted with a girl, you'd ask them if they'd walk you home. You didn't have no cars, you know, nobody rode cars. And I said, I've got nerve enough to ask you to walk you home. Well, she said, I've got nerve enough to let you go. So I walked her up to her end of something that night. Kissed her goodnight and never did see her no more after that. I don't remember. I don't think he even kissed her. I'm not sure. Anyway, don't remember what her name was.
Now you said that was at the Harmony Schoolhouse?
Yeah, well, you know where it is?
No, I don't think so.
Do you know where anything about Big Buffalo?
Big Buffalo.
That's Big Buffalo. You know where the Harrises live, Frank Harris? You ever know him?
Now, where are you talking about? What post office is he near?
There wasn't no post office over there. It was, you come down the river from a chemical plant on that road, you know where it was.
Yeah.
Come down there and turn right up the road. It turns up Big Buffalo and goes clear over to Canfield and down to, Tesla and down through there.
I know where it is
now. Now you go up from the river. You go up Big Buffalo, I'd say about a mile and a half, and you turn left and you go up, it's called Harmony Fork. It puts out on the hill on the old 19. Mm-hmm. the schoolhouse up ahead of that hall. Uh-huh. Called the Harmony Schoolhouse.
That was quite a little walk from there into Sutton.
Yeah, it was, wasn't too bad. That was about halfway between where I live and Sutton. After I already spent half of the night and then walk into Sutton and back. I was tired when that was all over with.
I bet. What other kind of music would they have there?
Well, I don't remember. I don't think they had anything on the guitars. Uh-huh. Don't think they had anybody that was what you call fiddlers. Uh-huh. Don't remember whether they had any banjos or not.
Who would you say is the best fiddle player you ever heard?
The best fiddle player?
Yeah.
Well, the best fiddle player is considered the best one. Is he's considered the best. He lives in Copen. That's Melvin Wines.
Yeah.
Now Sari Singleton, she lives out Heater or Berry Fork or somewhere in there. Now she's good at it, but her age is getting hurt, or she's slowed down.
Yeah.
And then Ernie Carpenter.
Yeah.
He's one of the old original Carpenters. I knew him when he was a boy.
Yeah.
He and his dad and his brother used to play back before he was born, when they had the fair up at the fairgrounds where that wood processing plant is up there. They'd play for the square dancers and stuff at the fair. Mm-hmm. That's where they got their flour to make biscuits out of it. Now, Betty, they were good. Yeah. That old man Carpenter, Betty, he was perfect on that.
Was that Shell? Ernie's was Ernie's father was Shell.
Well, that was Ernie's father.
Yeah.
You knowed him, did you? No, you didn't know him. He died before he was born.
But I play with Ernie all the time now.
You do?
Yeah.
You play with Ernie all the time?
Yeah, I play banjo for him. And so I get to know Ernie pretty good.
Well, now Ernie knows me real well.
Uh-huh.
You can ask Ernie and he'll tell you that whatever I've told you there's the truth.
Yeah.
Of course, you already believe it, you know that. I wouldn't sit here and tell you something that wasn't right.
Right.
I'm not that kind of person. I got a man up there who watches me.
Did they have any square dances down around your part of the country years ago? Or
no.
Around people's houses or anything?
No, later on in years. I helped the old man just... an old lady lived over on Middle Run, if you know where that's at.
No, I'm not sure about that.
Middle Run empties into Birch River. It goes down by Little Birch. It's Diana Run and Middle Run.
Uh-huh.
Or Middle Run and Diana Run.
Yeah, I think I know where you're talking about now.
You know where I'm talking about. They lived on the head of Middle Run, and we lived over the hill from there. So you go over the hill from where we lived to Little Buffalo, Big Buffalo, Middle Run, Long Run, Diana Run, just over the mountain. So we lived on the head of Coon Creek. It empties down in Elk down here, just about a mile and a half. And my brother and I was over there hoeing corn. They had a farm over there and they raised a lot of corn. And they had a daughter that lived up in Pennsylvania. She was a good singer. And then she had two granddaughters, was good player, guitar players. And this old lady, she was a cowgirl, but she was originally a carpenter. She was a first cousin to Ernie's dad, I think. She's in that carpenter family. Now, she's perfect on a fiddle. I mean, she kept preparing her music with her feet like that. And she'd give that violin that extra lick every time. She knew all of them old-time songs. Well, her granddaughter, she played the guitar, and I played the five string. And they called over there and wanted me to come over and play music with them. These people come in from Pennsylvania. So I took my banjo and went over. And they moved everything out of it. Had a big front room, moved everything out of it. And called in the neighbors. Had a square dance. And so we played for the square dance with the old lady at Calvert.
What was her given name?
Ansie.
Ansie.
Ansie Calvert. Yeah, she was. I knew them carpenters, and after Ernie retired and moved back up there on Airport Road, then I met up with him and we talked and rehashed old times and all like that. Then I went out and visited with him. He had two or three violins and a bunch of guns. Ernie's a likable somebody, and I fixed a couple of clocks for him. And he'd been here two or three times. He's a good sport. There's another fellow that lived over in there I liked awful well. Never heard him play music, but he was supposed to be one of the best. It was Joe. Lived down at... He played with some with Ernie.
Joe and Judy?
Joe Heater.
Yeah, I heard, yeah.
Did you know him?
Yeah. Passed away.
Yeah. He used to play, he told me he played over the Wheeling radio station up there, him and the other gang. Mm-hmm. He's the man that had the big motorcycle. He'd been here. Yeah. I fixed a clock for them. Uh-huh. Oh, I got acquainted with a lot of people. That clockwork work got to be almost a full-time job with me. Mm-hmm. And you talk about in that kind of line of work, and all these fine people that I got acquainted with, between 95 to 100%, everybody was up and up. Mm-hmm. And any amount of people would give me a tip. I just charged a reasonable price, you know. Put in more time and whatever time it took. Now those old clocks, you can't, you're limited on the parts. And you have to make a lot of them. Yeah. And of course, it's experienced in blacksmith work. And what you have to be to do clockwork. Now, that's different from watches. You got to be a mechanic to work the clocks. Watches, all you do is change parts. Clean a watch or change parts. It's broken. And you have to be a welder, mechanic, and a blacksmith to repair clocks. And I got acquainted with an awful lot of fine people. Very small percent wasn't up to up. Yeah. You always get that in anything that you go into. Yeah.
Getting back to the old, say like the music your dad played on the dulcimer. What did he play on it? Can you remember what he played on it?
Well, it played Sourwood Mountain, Cripple Creek, Soldier's Joy, and lots of hymns, and I don't remember. I think we played Cindy, and don't remember just all the tunes we did play back there when. See, when you get the age on you, you forget a lot of that stuff.
Would he sing too, when he played?
Which?
Your dad, did he sing when he played the dulcimer?
No.
Just played.
He usually didn't sing when he was playing the dulcimer. He just got followed up with guitar or banjo or whatever he did, you know, or playing alone.
You mentioned a little bit ago about playing these little games where you sing to them.
Playing games?
Yeah. Did you call them plays or games, or what did you call them? Going to the mill and...
Well, I couldn't explain it to you.
Everybody got in a circle?
They'd go around in a circle, you know,
yeah.
A boy and a girl. And some way or another, they had a certain point where you had to stop or something. And then you stop and change partners.
Did you play like the one, something about old man living at the mill?
Going to mill?
Yeah, how did that go?
Well, I don't remember that one. We played that too. That was going to mill, going around to where you choose your partner and so on. And a whole lot like calling figures for square dance.
Do you remember any of those at all? How the words went to them, those games?
No, they didn't have the very many words. Just what you call pantomiming, just going through certain things.
Right.
And drop the handkerchief. You'd go around, one person would take a handkerchief and go around. It had form a big ring. And they'd go behind them. You'd be face to face, you know, in a ring, and they'd drop the handkerchief behind somebody. And if you caught them, well, then you got back in the ring. I don't remember just how that went. They was, you know, crude games. That's all we know back then. Wasn't nothing fancy about it. Just mostly for boys and girls to get together and get acquainted.
Yeah.
That was what they're mostly for. Usually, they usually played those games. Now then they had if somebody was going to make apple butter, the women would get in there and have an apple peeler. Peel all the apples in after supper in the evening. Modern people call it dinner, you know. We always call it supper. That's what the old timers called it. And the young people get out there and play. They'd have bean stringing, like you're going to... back then, all you had to do, you either had to can something, pickle it, or dry it. You didn't have no freezers or anything like that, see. And if they're going to pickle beans or whatever, a big bunch of it. They had barrels and 15 to 20 gallon jars. They put this, all that in. But everybody had big families. They had to store away enough off of the farm to last them until the next time. And now, the way that the people did back there, you had to experience it to understand it. You take people to today, you can tell them how people had to do and they don't believe it. It just sounds too far-fetched. Just like in my boyhood days, younger boys, people made their own guns, made muzzle-loading rifles. And they needed the tool, they'd go to the blacksmith shop and get the blacksmith to make it. And if it was good enough, they'd make it themselves, like handles and mattocks and hoes and what have you. They always kept that's about all the tools you had to have.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, people your age, you can tell them something the way that you had to do back, they don't believe a word of it. Oh, you're just exaggerating. Nobody could live like that. Back during the Depression, I worked three different summers on the farm 10 hours a day for 50 cents a day. And like I was telling my boy, he's about your age. And I told him about that, and he said, "Well, Dad, you couldn't make no money like that." And I said, "It wasn't a matter of making money, it was a matter of keeping from going naked and starving." And when he got old enough to go to work, he started working up here at Kroger on weekends and holidays and stuff. And they had a nice man up there, was a meat cutter. He taught him the meat cutting trade while he was working there. So he started up there at good wages. That is, in the day that you worked in. It was unbelievable to him. He couldn't imagine. But even back before I was old enough to work, The people worked for 25 cents a day. Yeah. Bought farms. They bought farms on 50 cents a day, 25. Of course, you could buy land, you know, and this country was cheap.
Something in it.
It's hard to believe, ain't it?
Yeah.
I expect you've read a lot of history about it.
Yeah.
Now, over in China, there's parts of China, they're still living like we did when I was a boy. Okay. Carrying everything on their back.
I see you've got some splits up there. Do you make them?
No. I made them over there. But I didn't make that. My niece, she got a bottom chair, you know. I did that when I was a boy for a living. And that's another thing that, another trade I had. And I made a few baskets.
Oh, yeah?
And anything that I could make a quarter at, I'd work at it through the winter, you see.
Uh-huh.
Now, I had to save these gallon bleach jugs, and I made my splits that's made out of a bleach jug.
I see. Uh-huh.
And this is the tool you make them with.
Hmm.
Now, you can't cut them strips out of a bleach jug with a pair of scissors or a knife.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get in there to cut them with scissors. And I made this. I put it in a vise here, and I cut the bottom end or the top end out of it. Then I start to cut a strip and start it through there. And I just keep pulling out through there. And a bleach jug makes what we call them splits. I don't know what the real name would be for them. Reckon of course you split them out of an oak tree, you know, about
yeah.
so big.
Yeah.
And it makes one about 12 feet long.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes 8 splits, the bottom of a chair that size, to split out like those are up there. That's made out of some kind of cane or something like that. And
what did you make your baskets out of?
I made them out of splits where you got you and cut down a
white oak
about that big and uh-huh. split it and take the redwood out of it and then make strips of wood about the width you wanted your splits.
Yeah.
And you take them and just keep splitting them in the middle.
Yeah.
You know how they're
yeah.
made, don't you?
Yeah. Do you have any of your baskets that you made? Do you still have any?
My daughter-in-law over here's got one. My
yeah.
sister has. I made
uh-huh.
back when I was a young man.
What shape was it in? What does
well,
it square
it's
around?
Well, it's called an egg basket. It's about that big, and
uh-huh.
it's
double.
Starts and comes up with a bale on it. You know
yeah.
what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
They were called a peck basket, I think, that back then.
A peck?
Yeah, called a peck.
Uh-huh. How'd you learn to do that?
Well, my parents had a basket. An egg basket. They bought off the basket makers back then. They'd make a dozen baskets and put a string in them and go out and travel through the country and sell them for 50 cents a piece,
mm-hmm.
25 cents or whatever they get out of them, see.
Mm-hmm.
And I took that basket and took the pattern off of it, see, the measurements and everything, and seen how it was made,
mm-hmm.
so I made baskets like
mm-hmm.
that. My grandmother taught me how to bottom chairs when I was just a boy,
yeah.
10 or 11 years old. She used hickory bark.
Yeah.
She. Yeah, that's hickory bark there.
Right.
And us boys, she'd take a couple of three of us boys, go out there and help her get bark in there, bottom chairs.
Mm-hmm.
She'd bottom chairs.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Did you ever make a chair?
Make a chair, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I made, I remember making one that was a pattern just like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then I modified a chair. It was a chair, something similar to that, or this one here. Just use this one. It had kids chopped it up here and here. And I cut the top off of it. It had farther away back straps and a spit that and cut a slot through there, the top and the bottom one. And used the bottom, put things in there to go the splits around. Then I cut this out here, then cut it out, took it out, and went down here and put my bottom in there. Mm-hmm. I think I cut it off here. And then I brought a piece of that wood where you make splits out of them, put it in there and bent it down and put it down in the post, made arms for it, and put the bottom in it, then put rockers on it. That brought it back up to the right height, uh-huh. Made rockers and put on it. Uh-huh. And my daughter-in-law lives in Ohio. It was over at home. Everybody knows it belonged to me, that I modified it just a plain old chair. And every kid, they fought over it, you know. Boys, it was real to set in, you know. You put your arms down there, and you can rock in it. And I went over to the home place, and I got it and brought it over here. And I had it back here in the junk room, you know, where I got to just take stuff and throw it in there. And she was in there, and she saw that, and she wanted that. Yeah. Boy, she was going to have that. I said, okay, you can have it. So she took it home with her.
Would you want to get that old dulcimer and tune it up a little bit and try a tune on this?
No, the strings is rusted too bad to play on.
You think so?
Yeah, you can't play on it. It's hung in there and the strings is rusted. I'll get the violin and the guitar.
Okay.
If you can play guitar, can you follow the violin a little bit?
Uh-huh.
Well, turn your...
Who told you who made the fiddle?
Look right down in that sound hole there. If you can see that to read it. Robert Clayton, I believe.
Robert? Oh, yeah. Or Hope.
And it gives a date in there.
Morgan.
Hmm?
Morgan Clayton.
Morgan?
Yeah, Morgan Clayton.
Well, I get names mixed up.
1936. And you don't know where he was from or anything?
I know. I can't find nobody that ever knew him.
Uh-huh.
One person said they thought they'd known about him. I'm not very good at doing
that. You want me to tune it to this guitar?
Huh?
Do you want me to tune it to the guitar?
Yeah,
I could do that if you want. Loud.
Now you might be expecting to think you're going to hear some music, but you ain't. That's in tune. All right, how about a little bit of the Sourwood Mountain?
Okay. Thank you.
Good.
Now, I can't play but 2 or 3. Let's see. What key was you playing in there?
A?
Yeah. Well, I was playing an A, and I was going to play one in D.
All right.
You know when to get in the car. How about, what is the name of this song? I don't know it very good. Number 9.